Read the translation to the fourth verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. Here, the wonderful renunciation of the Goswamis is being described by Srinivasacharya. Of course, we know that many of the Goswamis came from aristocratic backgrounds. Rupa and Sanatan had very high jobs in the government. And from an early time, they became disinterested in their career, in their family, and they were calling in sick and reading the Bhagavatam. And then finally it came to the point where they decided to give it all up. So Rupa Goswami, he could immediately divide up all his wealth and he immediately left. Sanatan Goswami, his journey to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little more complicated. He was the second one to leave, and by the time he had come to the point where he was going to leave, the Nawab had caught him, imprisoned him, and then he had to do a whole kind of... he had to come up with a whole plan to escape from jail. So his journey was a little more difficult. But nevertheless, they both gave it all up and went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and dedicate themselves fully as renunciates. Raghunath Das Goswami, his journey to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was even more complicated. He tried to run away from home many, many times. When he was 16 years old, at that time he first met, maybe younger, he first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Shantipur. And at that time, as a very young boy, he was convinced that he wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, don't be a madman. Your time will come. For now you should go home and fulfill all your duties." So he wanted to come, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said no. Then second time he tried to come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there was some financial problem in the family and he's had to sort many things out. So then second time he tried to come, he couldn't come. Third time he tried to leave family life, his parents sent guards to grab him back and keep him in the house. And so third time he could not run away either. And then it said that after that time, Raghunath Das Goswami trying to run away from home and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that became a daily affair. He would run away, he would get caught, they'd bring him back, he'd run away, they'd bring him back, like that. And then finally his wife said, "Why don't we tie him down so that he won't leave home?" And his father looked at his wife and said, "You're crazy. If a beautiful wife and riches and all this opulence cannot keep him back, what will ropes do?" So he said, "There's no use, he's gone mad. He's going to leave now." And finally, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Panihati and he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu put his feet on his head and he said, "Yes, now you can join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he joined. So like this, many of the six Goswamis were coming from very, very aristocratic backgrounds. Backgrounds where they had all material facility. But Bhutva Dina Ganesha Go, they kicked it all off. Dapta Durnamashesha Mandali, they kicked it off as insignificant because they had something more valuable in their life that they were looking for. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, once the brahmacharis were fighting in the ashram, And then he laughed to himself. He said, yes, I can understand why this is. Obviously, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he had very opulent temples like Bagh Bazaar, very opulent temples, and the brahmacharis were living there. So then he began to laugh when the brahmacharis were fighting, because he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took princes and he made them into paupers. And I have taken paupers and I've made them into princes. So sometimes in today's day and age, after one becomes a brahmacharya or a renunciate, they're exposed to more opulence than they were before. But in the Goswami's times, they went from such a high standard of living to such simplicity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much encouraged this, that one should not get too much entangled with the material energy, because the material energy is so powerful that it can capture anyone. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said that three things are very, very dangerous, not only for renunciates but for everyone. He said Kanaka, Kamini and Pratistha. He said that any time one is dealing with any one of these three things, red alert signs must go off in their head. Because these three things are so powerful that they can capture one back into the material energy. Kanaka means material wealth or possession. Kamini means the opposite sex. And Pratistha means position, name, fame, followers, all these things. He said these are the three most intoxicating factors in the material world. And these three things are what degrade the living entity's consciousness and again bring him into the mentality that he entered this world in. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains that the living entity who comes to this world has two basic mentalities. One is that they want to be the enjoyer, and the second one is that they want to be the controller. So when one is dealing with these things, then this enjoying spirit and spirit of controlling again manifests. So therefore, whenever dealing with these things, one must be very, very careful. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavityamri jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhakti rahayita kritaye. Na dhanam, no kanaka, I don't want any material possession or wealth. Na janam, I don't want any followers, no pratistha, I don't want any name and fame. Na sundarim, I don't want even beautiful women, no kamini. Like that, he kicks all these things out. He says, I don't want any of these things, because these are the things which again bring me back into the material world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, not only should we not want these things, but we should not associate with anyone who is looking for these things. In the Bhagavatam it said that more degrading than association with a lusty woman is association with a man who is lusty. Because then the desires for these things actually become more implanted within our hearts. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this principle that when dealing with certain aspects of the material energy, one must be very careful. And therefore, even in these three things, Kanaka, Kamini, Pratistha, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong with his renunciates. If you take the first one, Kanaka, material wealth, possessions, he was so strong that all his renunciates must give up all wealth and all possession to an incredible degree. If you take the example of Sanatan Goswami, he was coming from obviously a very, very rich background. Then what happened? He decided to give everything up and go to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he divided all his wealth and then he got imprisoned. Finally, when he escaped from prison, he went with his servant Ishan. And when they stopped somewhere on the way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they could see that one hotel owner was treating them very nicely. So a doubt got into Sanatan Goswami's mind that why is this hotel keeper treating us so nicely. So then he asked his servant, Ishan, have you got any money with you? So Ishan said, yes, I've kept 8 gold coins just in case of emergency. And Sanatana Goswami said, you're mad, you're going to get us killed. So he said, you just take it, leave. So then he sent him away, and Sanatana Goswami gave up even 8 gold coins that he had left. So he had given up everything, then he gave up 8 gold coins. Then finally he arrived in Varanasi at Chandrasekhar's house, completely disheveled, and long beard, just completely unshaven, unkempt. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and he said, thank you for coming. Then he said to Tapan Mishra, or Chandrasekhar Acharya, he said, give him new clothes. So Sanatana Goswami, he said, I won't even accept new clothes. He accepted some reject clothes that were there. So like this, Sanatana Goswami had given up everything. He had given up all his wealth, he had given up the eight final gold coins he had. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give him new clothes, he only accepted old clothes. But what had happened, on the way, his brother-in-law, Sri Kanta, had given him a chandak. And after giving up all these things, he came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he just had this one chandak. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to look at him. And he began to look repeatedly at the chandak. So Sanatana Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't happy that he had his opulent chandak. So then immediately Sanatana Goswami went to the banks of the Ganga and he met one renunciate there and he said, okay, I'll swap. I'll give you my new one, you give me the old one. And the guy goes, why do you want to swap? He said, no, just swap. So Sanatana Goswami gave his new chandak away and took the old one. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, then he became very happy. But you think, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict. Sanatana Goswami had given up his whole treasury. He had given up his whole family. He had given up his 8 gold coins. He wouldn't even accept new clothes. He took old clothes. And all he had was a chadar that was given to him. Not that he even wanted it. But even that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that you shouldn't even have. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him that a physician is so expert that when he removes a disease, he removes it in such a way that there's not even a small chance that the disease will come back. So he said, now that you've got rid of this chadar, you have fully renounced, and you've renounced in such a complete way that there is no chance that these things will come back. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incredibly strict. If you take up a life of renunciation, then you must be very, very strict with any possessions or any wealth. And even if one is not taking up renunciation, even then, sometimes people think renunciation is only for brahmacharis and sannyasis, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan. Renunciation is the basic principle which sustains the life of all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, not just renunciates. Everyone has to be renounced according to their social position in their own way.
Repeat that one, would you say? Basic principle?
Basic principle sustaining the lives of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Vairagya pita hane gaura bhagavan. And seeing such renunciation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very happy. So when it came to Kanaka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. Sanatana Goswami said, even the chadar is too much, get rid of it. When it came to Kamini, association with the opposite sex, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was incredibly strict. Chota Haridas, he had become a sannyasi, he had given up everything. And then what did he do? One day he went to Madhava Devi. Madhava Devi was old, she was a great devotee, but he had gone to her to collect alms.
Who is this? Chota
Haridas. He had gone to Madhava Devi's home to collect alms. So when he had gone there, he had spent maybe a little too long there. Not that he was lusty or anything like that, but he had spent maybe a little too long there and come back and then he cooked the alms and he offered it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating, He said, where did you get these arms from? He said, I went to Mother the Devi's home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. He said, how can you go there? You're a renunciate. How can you look at a woman like that? And he banished him. And all the devotees felt, my God, this is so harsh. Such a disproportionate reaction to what he did. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that if I do not set the standard, then people will become very, very loose. And therefore he banished Chota Haridas. And Chota Haridas ended up committing suicide, actually. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strong when it came to even association with women. He said that one should not even look at the woman, wooden form of a woman. Dadavi prakriti hoya munerapana. That one should not even look at the wooden form of a woman, because even that will capture someone's mind. So when it came to material wealth, he was very strong. When it came to women, he was very, very strong that one should be very strict how they associate with women and the opposite sex. And when it came to pratistha, name and fame, he was very strong. You talked about the pastime of Jiva Goswami, who defeated Rupa Narayan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu banished him. He said that, you know, you have not shown pridelessness. And no one can stay in Vrindavan, no one can stay as a renunciate unless they become completely free of pride. So therefore, even this name and fame and gaining influence for a renunciate, this is also very, very dangerous. One time there was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, renunciate, Ramachari, and he was an influential preacher. So he was going around and he was doing big preaching. So he would organize these pandal programs and thousands of people would come. So one time he had gone on a whole preaching tour and he came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And then he began giving his report of all the preaching. So it was amazing preaching. It was this program, thousands of people, this program, thousands of people speaking Bhagavatam. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj looked at him and he said, you are a prostitute. It's like very heavy. Like he had gone around, he was preaching. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, you are a prostitute because you have not realized that you are mine. He says, you're going around and you're doing things and you're performing so many activities, but you have not realized that you are my possession. You are the possession of the spiritual master. And you may be doing so many things, but if it's not done in the spirit or service to the spiritual master, then still that is not considered pure devotional service. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is very strong like this, that one should not try to enjoy any of these facilities that come, possessions, the opposite sex, name and fame. Therefore the Goswamis were real emblems of this. They kicked off all aristocracy as insignificant. And in order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths. Kaupindakam Kashudo. This is significant. Kaupins are bona fide. Kaupins are actually, people underestimate what this means, but actually when young boys would get Brahmin Upanayana and they'd get the Brahmin thread, and it's just said that at the same time they would receive kalpins. And these kalpins were actually considered to be just as sacred as the Brahmin thread. Because the kalpins, what they signified was discipline, austerity, and sexual purity. So all those who were following the spiritual culture, they would wear kalpins. So here it said, Gopinda Kantashrido, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna,
and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So Kishini read something nice this morning. Prabhupada said, the Goswamis, remember what he said? Should read it out again.
Renunciation is acquired, but when one makes further progress after renunciation towards spiritual life and enters into the pastimes of Krishna, then things become perfect.
Renunciation is required in the beginning, but then later on one gets absorbed in the ecstatic pastimes of Krishna. So the renunciation of the Goswamis was not an artificial renunciation. It was a renunciation which was coming, here it said in the verse, Gopi Bhava Rasamritav Dilahari Kala Ulamagnam Vahur. It's a renunciation which was coming because they were merged in the ocean of the ecstatic love of the gopis. There's two things. One is thing is called Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation or detachment, where we do it, where we force ourselves to do it because it's good for our spiritual life. That's Vairagya. Then there's something else called Virakti. Virakti means renunciation or detachment which comes naturally because one is absorbed in something higher. This is a symptom of bhava. So, the Goswamis, their renunciation was not something that was forced because it was good for their spiritual life or good for their, you know, Krishna consciousness. Their renunciation was coming because they were absorbed in something higher. For example, it said that the Goswamis used to sleep under a different tree every day. Most renunciates, they sleep under a different tree every day because, so that they don't get attached to any sleeping place. That's the reason why most renunciates would sleep under a different tree every day. The Goswamis were not sleeping under a different tree every day for that reason. It said that they were sleeping under a different tree every day because in Vrindavan, Krishna performs pastimes with the gopis underneath a different tree every day. And so they were going from tree to tree because when they were sleeping under the tree, they were getting internal realizations of the pastimes that Krishna performed at that place. So them sleeping under a different tree every day, it was coming from Gopi Bhava Rasamritav Dilahari. It was coming from the fact that they were absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he ended up, his renunciation came to the level of eating decomposed rice that even the cows would not eat. Now he was not doing that. Raghunath Das Goswami was eating the decomposed rice behind the Jagannath temple that even the cows would not touch. His renunciation was not coming because he was trying to control his senses or because, you know, it was just, you know, the tongue, belly, genitals, and it, you know, it's all in the line, so keep it very simple. No. He was just doing it because he didn't want to waste any time. Because he was Gopi Bhava Rasamritav Dilahari. He was absorbed in Krishna. And therefore he had no time for these things. Therefore later on it said in the Sad Goswami Astaka, Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijito. The Goswamis, they gave up Nidra, sleep, Ahara, eating. Because they just didn't have any time, just completely absorbed like that. So therefore there's two types of renunciation. One is Vairagya, which is a forced type of renunciation which we do as a sadhana, and there's Virakti, which is a natural type of Vairagya, which is just coming from deeper realization and higher taste. So Gopi Bhava, we have to come to this level of Bhava, ecstatic love for Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes the characteristics of bhava. And it's good to meditate on these eight characteristics of bhava because number one, we can see whether we're advancing in spiritual life because these characteristics should gradually develop. And it's good to meditate on these characteristics because these are actually things we should develop. We should try to incorporate these characteristics of bhava in our spiritual life. So what are those eight characteristics? Shantira Vyarta Kala Tvam Viraktir Manashunyata Ashabandha Samutkanta Namagane Sadaruchi Ashaktistad Gunakhyane Pritistad Vashatishtale Ityadayon Vadasyor Janta Bhavan Kure Jane. This is given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Vasamrita Sindhu. First characteristics of Baba, Shantir, forgiveness, holding no bad feeling against anyone. Are we like that? If we're not like that, then that's something to develop. Someone in Baba has no sense of grudge or no sense of revenge against anyone. Shantir, second one, Avyarta Kalatvam. They don't waste even one moment. They cannot stand to waste any time. So do we have that? If we don't have that, then maybe in our lives we have to live like that, that we don't waste one moment without actually doing something that will increase our spirituality. Shanti Ravyata Kala Tvam Viraktir, detached. Like we said, the Goswamis, they were naturally detached. But if we're not at that level, then we should actually become detached and live a life of renunciation. Viraktir Manashunyata. Manashunyata means no sense of pride. That one does not think they've done anything great, or they are anything great, or they have anything great to offer to the world. One only sees them as themselves as an instrument to be used by Krishna. And if they're used by Krishna, then maybe their life will become meaningful. Viraktir Manashunyata. Ashabandha, fifth characteristic, they have a great hope. We're struggling in spiritual life, we may feel very, very fallen, we may feel that I have so far to go, but Ashabandha, they have an unbreakable hope. That this process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it can even elevate me. So Maya is very strong, but Krishna consciousness is even more powerful. So they have a Ashabandha, a great hope. Samutkanta, sixth characteristic. They have intense eagerness for spiritual life, intensely enthusiastic to absorb themselves, discover more, and engage in service. Samutkanta, they have great eagerness. So, Viraktir Manashunyata, Ashabandha Samutkanta, Namagane Sadaruchi, seventh characteristic. They have a great taste for chanting. And they are incessantly chanting. So even if we don't have that natural characteristic, are we investing time in developing an attachment for the holy name? So Namagane Sadaruchi. Ashaktistad Gunakyane Pritistad Vasatistale. Eighth characteristic. They have an addiction to glorifying Krishna. Addictive. Cannot stop. Even if they... so many difficulties are there. Even if health problems are there. Even if, you know, so many external factors are inhibiting them. Still, addicted, cannot stop glorifying Krishna. Pritistad Vasatistale. Final characteristic. They have a intense attraction to living in the holy Dham. So, like I was saying, Prabhupada said, I never leave Vrindavan. Even when I'm in New York, London, traveling around the world, I'm always living in Vrindavan. When he was on the ship, he wrote, after he had the heart attack, he says, I'm missing my Lord, Sri Govinda Gopinath Damodar, Radha Damodar, and remembering Sri Govinda. So the devotees always have a great attachment and love for residing in the holy places. Even when they're not residing in the holy places physically, in their mind, they are always residents of the Dharma. So these are the nine characteristics of Bhava. And the Goswamis are said, Gopi Bhavana Samhita. They were engaged and fully absorbed in these characteristics. And in this way they became shining examples of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Hare Krishna.
What was the significance of Lord Nityananda putting his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami? Sanatana Goswami, right?
Raghunath Das Goswami.
Raghunath Das Goswami.
So basically, Raghunath Das Goswami had tried to run away from home many times. But he could not. Somehow he would always get caught or something would stop him from running away from home. So then finally he was told, go to Panihati. Because in Panihati, Nityananda Prabhu is there. So he arrived in Panihati. If you go in the Prasadam room, you know Prasadam room at the manor, then that big picture, that's the picture of Raghunath Das Goswami who came to Panihati. So Nityananda was sitting there, and Raghunath Das Goswami had come from a very rich background. So the first thing he said, Raghunath Das Goswami, organize a chipped rice festival for all the devotees. So then he organized the chipped rice festival, fed all the devotees with great devotion. And then he approached Nityananda Prabhu and said that, please can you give me the mercy so I can join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Nityananda Prabhu put his feet on him, then that signified that he received Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. And the deeper significance is that, number one, one cannot achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy if one doesn't get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. And the second lesson is that one cannot approach Krishna and one, unless one goes and gets the mercy of the Guru. So Nityananda Prabhu is Adi Guru. Mm-hmm. So like this is basically explaining that one can only approach through Nityananda Prabhu. He's that tattva. So everything else that Raghunath Das Goswami tried, it didn't work. But when he went through Nityananda Prabhu, then it worked. So that's a very essential teaching for us, that we don't approach Krishna directly, but we approach through the Guru. And therefore, if you do a Veda-based search on secret of success, then Prabhupada uses that terminology many, many times. You know what he says is the secret of success in spiritual life?
I thought it was denied this much.
Sometimes he says that, but on more occasions than not, he says something else.
Is it following the orders of his spiritual master?
Following the orders of his spiritual master. This is the secret to success in spiritual life.
I was just saying one thing, obviously, like, you know, Mahaprabhu set the standard, very strict renunciates, and then, you know, the regarding
Chota Haridas.
Yeah, well, Chota Haridas, yeah, like Kamini, obviously, big one, and then even the others to some extent. I suppose Kamini would be the big one, really, but in our situation now, in modern day brahmacharis and devotees in general, how do we relate to that? Because obviously we are surrounded by women, we speak to women, this and that.
So the principle should be honored. The details may vary, but the principle should be honored. Therefore it said that anyadaya vadarta krit. In Bhagavatam it said that one should associate with a woman only for essential service and not for any other purpose. So the Goswamis, they were setting the highest standard. In our day and age, maybe things have to be adjusted because of the nature of the world we're living in and the culture in which we find ourselves. If you live in a traditional culture, then there's no need to interact with a woman. I remember being at Chaupati for 6 months and I never spoke to one woman because the culture is such. And the manner to go a day without speaking to a woman would be a rare day.
Difficult.
So the principle should be honored, that it should be for only for service, okay? Nothing more than that.
And I suppose we've got to be correct in assuming that if we are in the right mood, then whatever subliminal impressions do come in, then obviously, you know, for Prabhupada's mercy, they will get nullified.
Gopal Prabhu told me that Raghunath Maharaj said one thing to him about ladies. He says, remaining chaste or remaining unaffected by womanly association is very easy. Just do two things. One, don't give out the wrong vibes. And two, don't pick up on the wrong vibes. So it's like,
So generally, if someone is very, very chaste, like a man, if he conducts himself in the right way, then a woman will not approach. She'll be embarrassed to approach. But if there's subtly something within us, then a woman will. And then she will pick up on that. So don't give out the wrong vibes, and even when they seem to give you the wrong vibes, don't take it too seriously, just walk away.
Well, you know, with Chuttaharidas, when people read a pastime, sometimes they can misunderstand or misuse that suicide aspect. How do you understand, because you know, suicide means you become a ghost, and he did become a ghost, right?
He didn't become a ghost, he actually attained his spiritual body, actually, it said. And he was actually chanting in his spiritual body around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he left his body. So it's not that he became a ghost, but generally in suicide you become a ghost.
No, I thought, because there's that picture also, you know.
That's
like,
considered his spiritual, ethereal body. It's not ghostly body. He said ghost, but he said that he also attains his spiritual form.
So he got liberated.
Yeah, got liberation. Yeah, we should not misunderstand that. Actually, there's a theory that Vishnu Jan Maharaj actually did this. Basically, Vishnu Jan Maharaj was a renunciate, you know. And then somehow, by some arrangement, he ended up, because generally at that time, sannyasis would never go back to their temples where they were originally from. So apparently he went back there and he was with a lady, either married to her or something, but he accidentally just saw her.
Sorry.
He just accidentally saw her. So then he, in his mind, he didn't even speak to her, but in his mind he was feeling very bad about that. So then one time he was in India and he was hearing a lecture, and Prabhupada was talking about the Chautaharidas pastime. And Prabhupada explained that if a sannyasi sees again a woman or his former wife or anything like that, then they should follow the example of Chautaharidas and commit suicide. And then one day Vishnu Jan just disappeared, just completely disappeared. And then it was in Varanasi, at Allahabad maybe, at the Triveni Sangam. And one local person, they said, I saw a Western renunciate running into the sea and jumping in. So there's a theory that Vishnu Jan actually jumped into the Ganga and killed himself.
Theory.
And then they... Theory, I mean, it's quite... They seem to be very quite sure about it. And then they came to Prabhupada later on and they said, you know, we think Vishnu Jan Maharaj committed suicide. And then Prabhupada became very, very affected by that. And said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many, many associates. I don't have any associates like him, so I need everyone to stay here and stuff. So Prabhupada was, I mean, he explained the principle of that pastime, but he said in our day and age there's no need to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when sannyasis would fall down, what to speak of, just encouraging him in the devotional life. One time a sannyasi fell down, Prabhupada told him to come back, and Prabhupada even conducted his marriage. So that's how merciful Prabhupada was. So, yeah, these principles stand, but then how we apply them and how they relate to our lives today, that may vary.
What are they called? Vantasi or something, isn't it?
Vantasi.
Vantasi.
Who's Vantasi?
Sannyasi, someone who takes sannyas but then again gives up their sannyas ashram, is known as a Vantasi, or one who eats their own vomit. Because sannyas means that you become socially dead. In other words, you vomit out all of these things, you know, friendship, love, society. You say, none of this is for me anymore. And then again, if you, after giving all that up, you know, again you embrace that lifestyle and take it up, then it's said to be very, very bad.
You said Vairagya was to force oneself to be renounced in order, because you know it's better for your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've heard attachment and aversion is two sides of the same coin. So then how do you know if you're not being averse, well, renounced or...
When we detach ourselves from things, it's not that we detach ourselves because we're averse or we're feeling distasteful towards the thing. Like say for example, we detach ourselves from women. That's not because we think there's anything wrong with women. But we're detaching ourselves from women because we're realizing that I'm not qualified to be in the association of women and at the same time maintain my spirituality. In other words, there's no problem with women, but the problem is with myself. And therefore the detachment is coming because we're very much aware of our own weakness, and therefore we're detaching ourselves to keep a distance for our own protection. But at any time it's not that we think there's anything wrong with women or we understand the difference. So it's like Yamunacharya says, every time I think of enjoying a woman, I spit on the thought. Not that you spit on the woman, but you spit on the thought that it's my problem. Right? So sometimes there's mixed up, you know, because like, oh, women, they're Maya, they're the, you know, personification of material energy, you know, kick them away, that kind of thing. But no, actually, the problem is our problem. So that's why, that's how you become detached without becoming averse or hard-hearted towards these things. Because everything is Krishna's energy. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said you can enter the spiritual world if you know three things. That all opulence is for Krishna, all women are Krishna's gopis, and all children are Krishna's cowherd boycotts. If you have that realization on these three things, that all women, when you see them, that these are Krishna's gopis, all children, when you see them, that this is Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, and all opulence, when you see this is meant to be used in Krishna's service. If you have that kind of vision, then you can enter into the spiritual world.
Who said that?
Bhaktisiddhanta. So, it said there's different ways of seeing a woman, like, on the lowest level, we see a woman as an object of enjoyment. A little higher than that, we see a woman as something very dangerous, so we stay away from it. A little higher than that is we see a woman as a spirit soul. And even higher than that, we see a woman as for Krishna's enjoyment. Yeah, so it's coming from like being averse, to being cautious, to being neutral, and then to being seeing everything in connection with Krishna. So sometimes we have to go through this level before we can go to this level. So sometimes, that's why even you find in the Bhagavatam sometimes